Okay, as always, we tell you the English ones for Gashem and Rabari. This week, Parshas Matos Masei, we are entering into Chodesh Menachem Av, and as has been pointed out, although there are two Parshas, we'll try not to be double as quick, but we'll, whatever we manage to cover and share together tonight should be an inspiration for us all. The beginning of Parshas Matos is the Parsha of Nedarim. The beginning of Parshas Matos is Parshas Nedarim, the Parsha of Nedarim, within which we say Lo Yachil Devarim. A person may not or must not profane his words. The Torah reiterates this point of saying Lo Yachil Devarim. Don't profane one's words, and rather everything that I say, I should do. And this is the double loshen is questioned by the Mefarshim. Lo yachil devarim means don't make your words fully. Keep your word. Chalayetim and pibiyase also means keep your word whatever you say. What is the double loshen? So the Ben Ish Chai explains this with a story. So there was a gentleman, seemingly very simple, devout Jew, extremely simple. He was illiterate, but extremely devout. And he had, he was benched with a large family and a fortune of wealth. And he couldn't even daven. That's how illiterate he was. But he would go to shul. He would stand in shul and he would listen. And he always overheard one particular gentleman saying karbonos before mincha. And one of the things he would say also was the parsha, the perek, sorry, of Ezo Makoimon. Whenever he got to the words of Eilu Ve'eilu Nisrofin Beveis Hadoshen, he would sing it with a sort of a nigun, Eilu Ve'eilu Nisrofin Beveis Hadoshen. That's, he had some sort of nigun that he sang it with. And this gentleman was sure, from the way that the nigun was sung and the reverence with which it was sung, it must be some sort of tefillah. So he thought, you know what, Friday night, everyone benches their children. I have no idea what to say. I can't even look inside what to say. I'm going to bench my children and I'll use this tefillah of Eilu Ve'eilu Nisrofin Beveis Hadoshen. So every Friday night, he was bench his children. These and those should be burnt on the Beveis Hadoshen. That was the tefillah bracha he gave them. So one week, he had a guest who was invited to him. So the Ben Ish Chai, Choshmeid, Adam Godel. And he hears the gentleman call over his children and he's giving them a bracha, Eilu Ve'eilu Nisrofin Beveis Hadoshen. He said, Meshuggah, what are you doing? Cursing your children? How can you say that? Obviously, when he explained to this person what he had done and what he was saying, he stopped. That night, this Adam Godel had a dream. And in the dream, he was told by the Baal HaChalomos that you've done something terrible. It was incorrect what you did by being mevatel this person from seeing his bracha. He may have said words which had connotations that were severe, that were incorrect. But he was saying them in a devout way. Those were the only words that he knew in Lashon HaKodesh that he'd worked to pick up exactly what they were, and he assumed they were a bracha. So in Shamayim, the Rabbeinu Shalom loves Klal Yisrael. V'digloi alai ahavo. And the Rabbeinu Shalom will take those letters and be mitzaref them into a bracha. And he was doing that because they were said with a kavanah tahira. And you've come along and you've stopped him. And these five words made a tziruf of something which always gave bracha to this man. Look at the bracha he has. And you're taking that away from him. So the Ben Ish Chai, lo yachil devarei, someone who doesn't profane his words, k'chol ayitzi mipiv yaseh, whatever comes out of his mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it work, even if it has bad connotations. But because he always keeps his word, and this was a devout, elach yid, may not have been literate, may not have been literate, but the Ben Ish Chai says, those words, I'm going to take, I'm going to keep, I'm going to make sure that they actually have an effect. The Bedichava used to say, on these words, k'chol ayitzi mipiv yaseh, he would say in the Pasuk in Tehillim, we say every day, in Ashrei, Tehilas Hashem Yedaber Pi, the praises of Hashem, my mouth should speak. Vivorech Kol Basar Shem Kotzer Leilam Voyah. Then all human beings, any living being, should praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu Leilam Voyah. He says, you know, when a person sits and starts to hum to himself a niggun, starts to sing a niggun, and the other people around him, slowly others will catch on. And they'll start to sing with, and end up that everyone will sing together. He says, "Tehilas Hashem, Yedaber Pi." He said, "David HaMelech, when I sing the praises of Hashem, Vivorech Kol Basar, I sing them in a way that everyone around me joins in. And then it ends up that everyone is singing Vivorech Kol Basar Shem Kodesh Le'ilam Vayeh. You know, sometimes we come to Daven and we look at the words, and you know, we don't express them, because you know why? The Gemara in Tanis says, Ezo Yavoda she believe. No, tefillah is made now by the Shabbalev. I don't need to say any words. Now, Chavos Havos does discuss this and says, well, why is it that the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah saw it fit to create a nusach for tefillah? At the end of the day, Avodas HaTefillah is, then we should be meditating and focusing our minds. Why have we got a nusach? Says Chavos Havos, and I think I definitely appreciate these words very much. He says, even with a nusach, we know how fragile our minds are, and how we float from place to place, and from between words and words, we're in multiple different places. And as some people say, when we finish Shemona Esra, we're probably more mechuyav on saying benching our goyimel than we are when we actually go away. Said Chazal, we need to help a person to focus his mind. Of course, it's avodah shebelev. His mind's got to be mind over matter, and if he doesn't have his mind over matter, how's he going to have that? So we created a nusach for him. Said David HaMelech, Oida Hashem Ma'oid Bafi. I'll say a lot of Sekhravi Mahalalenu. When I say Ma'oidim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll do it amongst a lot of other people. Therefore, that's what he's saying over here. That Kechol HaYotze Mipiv, anything that comes out of a person's mouth, make sure it's Avoida, it's Tefillah, it's Shabbat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaseh, and then other people will do the same. Because they'll be influenced, and they'll enjoy it, and they'll see it, and they'll be able to do the same thing as him. Sorry?
Was this the petition with this?
That was the petition, yeah. Afterwards, later on in the parasha, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Tes, Klal Yisrael are told by Moshe Rabbeinu to go and wage war against Midian. In last week's parasha, we were told to create a hatred so that we would be able to wage war. And in this week's parasha, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Tes, we're told about actually going and waging war. Early in the parish, Kalisar went, they waged war, they took the spoil, they booted the booty. Kalisar are told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, how to divide that booty. And then, Vayikrubu el Moshe HaPakudim Asher Alfei Atzava, the officers, Sorei Alofim, Sorei Ameos. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu after returning from battle, and they said, Vayomru el Moshe, Avodecha Nosu Esreish Ansham Lechama, we've taken a head count, Veloi Nifkad Mimenu Ish. No one's missing. The Ben Ishchai points out, he says, there's one of the primary ways that a person can be mesaken chatoim and averus is by esek hatorah, bechesed ve'emes yichu par'ovoim. Bechesed, by doing chesed with other people, ve'emes, and learning Torah's emes, yichu par'ovoim, that brings a kapara. So he said that someone who wants to get kapara, the more one learns, the more kapara a person gets for the chatoim that a person has done. The person says it should increase in one's learning in order to get a kapara. He says, the Medrash tells us, when Shlomo HaMelech got married to the daughter of Pare, she made a request of her new husband, a crazy request. She asked him, I want you to get birds, all the birds that exist in the world, one of all the birds that exist in the world, get them all here, so to speak, imprison them, then shecht all of them, and make me a home that's built out of the bones of all these birds. A crazy request. That's what she requested. Shlomo HaMelech tried to put her off and convince her that this was outrageous and absurd, but he wasn't successful. So he knew how to be geyser, that all the birds in the world should come to him, and they did. Except for one. They all entered his palace, he enclosed them, looked after them, one didn't come. So he was waiting for this one to come before he goes and shechts the others. Eventually this one bird comes. So HaMelech asks him, where have you been till now? Why, what was the delay? So the bird says to him, I was on my way, but I wanted to just do a quick, poll in the world, just to check out. I wanted to make a quick not estimation, but the right word is, I wanted to check something. I wanted to see, are there more men or more women in the world? There was Chaim or Nikivas. So Shlomo says to him, no. What was the mask on it? What did you come out with? So he says that there are more women, there are more Nikivas in the world, there are more Nikivas. So he says, look, I've got a proof there's more Nikivas, or one of you married 1,000 women. So there must be more Nikivas than there are Zacharim. So I said to him, actually, you're wrong.
Limited space, yeah.
Sorry?
Thought he was limited.
Yeah, that was the, we said that, Shlomo HaMelech. That was the, well, he did incorrectly. We know it's the 18th from David HaMelech, because he had six, and he says that he could have Koheino v'Koheino. Mm-hmm. You could have another six and another six. Shlomo HaMelech went beyond that. That was one of the mistakes that he made. But Shlomo HaMelech tells his brother, he actually made a mistake. There are more males than there are females, and more Zacharim than there are Nikivas. The bird says, no, Shlomo HaMelech, you didn't get what I'm trying to say. You see, you thought I'm looking for who's physically a male and who's physically a female. I wasn't looking for that. See, I hold that someone whose wife rules over him and gets him to do exactly what she wants the whole time, even crazy things, I classify him as a Nikiva. That's why I classify him as a Nikiva. And there are more of those. There's so many of those that there are more Nikivas than there are Zacharim. So, that what he was telling him, you're listening to this crazy absurd thing of your wife, you sugar what you're doing, that's not what you do. The Shlomo HaMelech freed all the birds and they all went away. Said the Ben Ishchai, when a Yid goes to battle, it's very, we could totally understand if he doesn't have time to put on tefillin, if he doesn't have time to learn Torah, we may be able to understand it. But there was a Malach that came to Yeshua, and the Gemara in Maseches Megillah tells us that a Malach came to Yeshua when they were on the outskirts of Yericho. And he wasn't sure if it was a malach or a shindalad, and he asked him, who are you? He used the shame of Hashem, so he knew it was a malach. He said to him, Halonu ato'im l'tzareinu. He knew it wasn't a shindalad at least. Are you from us or are you from the enemy? So he said, no, I'm from you. So he said, what have you come for? So he said, there's a taina on you. You didn't bring a carbon tamid yesterday, and you were mevatel Torah. So Shlomo HaMelech, Yeshua asked him, what is the primary reason for which there's a tree on us in Shemayim? Because we didn't learn Torah, because we didn't bring the carbon tommy. And the response of the Malach was, Ato, Ayin Tofe, Ato Bossi, now I have come. Miyad, says the Gemara, Vayolin, Yoshua, B'toich Ha'emek, Melamed, Shalom, M'toich Onka Shal Arocha. He went to sleep, M'toich Onka Shal Arocha, learning. They understood the tree was about Limudat Torah. How did he know that? Tosfos says, because he heard the word Ato, Ayin Tofe, from the Malach, and that was the Gzereshava he made was to Va'ata Kiswul Achemes Ashira Azois, and he understood that the Tviya was on Torah. Said the Panav Ezerah, what was the Tviya? The Tviya was, Torah is going to be like a Shira. A Shira you can sing wherever you are. A song, a soldier who's in battle, when he takes a rest for a little bit of time to rest his weary bones that he should be able to continue to fight, or he has to clean out his ammunition, how does he keep himself strong? How does he make sure that he's got the morale stays in where it's meant to be? By singing a song. Torah has to be something that a person is always to consider, has to be able to consider a shiur. He said, when they came along and they told Meshra Abim, you should know, we've done a head count, for lo nifkad mimenu ish. Not a single ish is missing. That means that every single person was an ish, not a nekeva. And therefore they continued to put on tefillin, they continued to learn Torah, they continued to do what they were meant to be doing. In the same way that bird told Shlomo HaMelech, an ish is defined as someone who's an ish and does what an ish is meant to be doing, so too, says the Ben Ishchai over here, what they were coming to say is, they're all anoshim. At the time of Torah, they all kept their mitzvahs, they continued to learn Torah, and that's the type of ish that the Torah wants us to be when we return from battle. On a completely different subject, we just digress a little bit, later on in the parasha, a beautiful little vot that one can share, it's certainly interesting with with regards to Bnei Gadim and Eruvin, who requested to have a portion on Eva Yarden. The Pasuk in Perek Lama Beis, Pasuk Allah tells us, "Mikne Rav Hayal Bnei Eruvin, Bnei Gad Otzumai Dead," a fortune amount of cattle. And the Mepharshim ask, why was it that they had so much more than everyone else? They've all been in the desert, they're working together, they all came out of Mitzrayim together. So why did they have more? So the Shach says something very interesting. He says, "Eruvin, we know, Shevet Eruvin had in their possession the Dudaim from their Zayda Eruvin." Dudaim, we know, has a skudah. Hadn't
been used up.
Yeah. Hadn't been used up? No. Also, yeah. Yeah, maybe they replanted them, I'm not sure. So the Shach, they had the Dudaim from Reuven. Dudaim have a skudah of childbirth, of child rearing. And that's why Reuven had, and that's why Rachel requested them. Bnei Reuven kept that, and they put it amongst their livestock, and therefore they increased in number substantially in a supernatural way. So they had more. And Bnei God asked them, they were in the same degel, can we also avail ourselves of this, of the service of your Dodoim? They said yes. So the Shachar, when Bnei Shimon came, they said no, after what happened with the Zimri, we're not lending them out to you anymore. And therefore they didn't have the same increase in their livestock as Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, who were in the same degel. They didn't give it to Shimon. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshit says a beautiful thing. He says, Bnei God were a Shevet who, whilst they were in the Midbar, ate only man. They ate nothing other than man. Other Shvatim ate also meat and also from their livestock, which Shevet God. Shevet God ate only man. And therefore, their livestock never diminished in number because they only ate man. So their livestock remained in a substantial amount because they only ate man.
Well, because says, the people that ate man, so the livestock increased.
But other Shvatim ate from their livestock as well.
Oh, I see.
God only ate man. He says, and that's Merumas in the Pasuk, Vahu Kezera Gad. Lavan. Vahu Kezera Gad means it's the food of Shevet God. Because they only ate man. Remela, their livestock remained in full in number and just carried on increasing rather than needing to be replenished from what they ate.
None of them died of old age.
What about Reuven?
None of them died of old age or whatever.
Of the livestock, I don't know, or they probably did, but they increased over time, so they were rearing more because they didn't kill any of them. What about Bnei Reuven? So he says, we know that when Yaakov Avinu was, before he left the house of Lavan, so he had this whole deal with Lavan of which sheep will be his and which will be Lavan's. And it says in the parasha there, by Yehili, Shoyer, Vachamoyer, Eved, Tzoyin, Ve'eved, Veshifcha, Frank Rashi, Frank the Medrash, where did Yaakov Avinu have Eved, Veshifcha, where did they come from? Answers the Medrash. He sold his livestock and he bought with that Eved Meshivcha. He had so much livestock from that short period of time to sell. So yeah, people paid over the odds for his livestock because they had a brocha in them. They increased and multiplied more than any of them. They had a supernatural birth rate and people wanted to avail themselves of this to increase their livestock. So they paid over the odds that Mamila Yaakovinu became extremely wealthy and he was able with that money to buy Eved Meshivcha. So those were given over to the Shivtei Ka. Reuven, being the Bechor, got Pishnaim. We made it, their livestock were substantially more than the others because they had that this bracha in their possession to a much greater extent than anyone else. That's the Ben Ishai of how... There's another beautiful Ben Ishai. Go back to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof Gimel, after Klal Yisrael returned from the battle, we're told the parasha of Hag'olas Kelim. Interestingly, it's the one mitzvah, probably at least one of the mitzvahs we can definitely say about it, it makes scientific sense. The mitzvah itself, Kabbalah Kach Poltei, how did it get in there? Well, metal is porous, and so are most materials. You boil something up in them, some of it goes inside the pores, and when you boil it up again, it will come out, and then you'll get that taste coming back into the food that you cook in it afterwards. How do you cleanse it? Well, put it in something that is shishim or more time than itself. It nullifies the taste and put it in the same heat so it will be extracted in the same way that it was put inside it. Well, yet the Torah calls it a choik. The Torah tells us that this is a choik of how we do Haggadah. But it tells us over there, how do you do Haggadah? Anything that went in fire, you kasher by putting in fire. But toy, achav meidi nidei shlatim will need tefillah afterwards. V'chol asher lo yovei ba'ish, taviru b'amayin. There's a Gemara in Menachos in Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara in Menachos tells us that nowadays, from the Pasuk says zois toiras hachatos, from here zois toiras ha'oshon, from we learn that kol ha'oisik b'toiras chatos ki ilu hikriv chatos, kol ha'oisik b'toiras oshon ki ilu hikriv oshon. Meaning that nowadays that we don't have the korbanos. If a person's done an avera for which they could have brought a korban, I've done an avera which would have required a chatos in the times of the Torah. I've done an avera which would have required an osham in the times of the Torah. How do I get a kapara? I don't have a korban to bring. Says the Torah, don't worry. Yasik v'toras chatos. Yasik v'toras osham. If a person's oisik in them, then it's ki'ilu hikriv. And that's where the minute comes to say every day, the parsha of chatos, the parsha of osham. Learn about them, it's ki'ilu hikriv. What does a person do who's done a chait for which you can't bring a korban? Lashon hara. What does a person do for a chait like that? He says, for that, a person needs to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mechila, and tears help to get rid of that avera. Tears help to mechap of that avera. Says the Ben Ishchai, that's hinted to in the pasuk over here. Kol dover asher yovei ba'esh, anything which comes into a fire, korban which gets consumed in the fire of the mizbeach, when you don't have that anymore, taviru ba'esh, enter yourself into the esh ha-torah, and v'toyah, and you'll become toyah. V'chol asher yilo yovei ba'esh, if it's something which doesn't have a korban, how do I get a kapara? Taviru ba'moyim. Spill tears. He says, but even nowadays, you think, you know what, so if I've done something for a chata, I'll just go and learn the parasha of chatas, I'll be fine. Now, you look at the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Kol dover asher yovei ba'esh, Taviru ba'esh, learn the esh ha-torah, v'toyah, ach b'mei nidon yischata. But don't forget, you still need the water, you still need the tears. The sincerity is still required in order for a person to get a kapara for the chait that one has done. The haftarah of this coming week's parasha, second of the Gimel de Puranusa, from the second parak in Yirmiyah, where Yirmiyah Anobi tells Klal Yisrael, rebukes Klal Yisrael, gives them teichocha for what they have done. And in that teichocha, he tells them about the fact that they have, so to speak, given up HaKadosh Baruch Hu for other gods, and the consequences are going to be dire. And it's time to do tshuva. One of the things he tells them is, "In kiim techabsi baneser, besar biloch boiris." If you'll wash yourself in soap and you'll increase for yourself, so nichlam avoynich lefanai. No, Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'll get rid of it." I wanted a beautiful vat. My Rebbe Chaim Kaufman zich tzad livrocha. This is in the zemer that we sing on Shabbos of. One of the things we say is Achabes Libi Kaboyris. I will cleanse my heart to be like soap. And the Apostle of says, Kim Techabsi Baneser Sarbi Loch Boyris. You'll increase for yourself soap. That means you'll wash yourself with Neser and increase Loch for yourself, Boyris, soap. So then when we talk about washing, which you should say, not Achabes Libi Kaboyris, I'll wash myself like soap, but Achabes Libi Boyris, I'll wash myself with soap. And he said, I don't remember who he said this in the name of, that what we're saying in that Zemer is, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that on Shabbos is a time which is Mesugah for Tshuva, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Achabes Libi Kaboris, I want to cleanse my heart, that it itself becomes like soap, that it can cleanse others. That's the darga that a person should want to reach. We're entering now into the 9 days, into another darga of Avelos, on the fact that we don't have our Bate Mikdash. And I think it was the Duman Magid who would say over the Moshul about a family who were living in a little village back in the day where they had their structure of a home that was completely made out of wood. And a fire broke out in one place of their home. And in those days, the way the wood was and the structure of the home, if fire took hold of one area of that home, it didn't take very long and the whole home was destroyed. And they were left destitute with nothing. What do they do? They go back into the forest behind the village, cut some more wood, and sort of build something makeshift for themselves. But in the meantime, having done that, the father had no parnasa, and he'd lost his job. He was trying to build a home, so he decided he needed to travel and try and raise some funds for his mishpacha. When he's away, he sends a letter to his children, telling them how he's missing them and how he wishes he could be with them, and how he's hoping to be back soon, and he sends them some funds to keep them going. And the children each write him a letter back. This is the young child who writes, he says, "I'm missing you because I'm missing my toys and my ball that I used to play with. And I hope that when you come back, you'll be able to return that to me so that I should have that for me. And I'm missing you because I think about what I used to have and I don't have it now. And hopefully when you come back, I'll be able to have it again." This is the bar mitzvah boy who sends, he says, "You know, I'm missing you because I hope when you come back, I'll be able to get my bar mitzvah presents back and my sforim back and we'll be able to. And I'm missing you because, you know, I think about you a lot." Now you have a slightly older teenager, his letter reads totally different. And he says, "You know, I sit at night and I think about you, and I'm missing you. And what really pulls on the strings of my heart are, I think about how you must be feeling missing us. So the Dubna Magid, that's what we want to try and achieve during the upcoming time of the 9 days, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some of us will say, you know, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. I wish we had a Beis HaMikdash. We had a Beis HaMikdash. I had everything I needed. I had all, didn't have to worry about anything. And I had all the perks. I had everything Klal Yisrael had. I really would like that as well. I could do with Mashiach being here. Another one says, you know, I could really do with Mashiach being here. It would be so much easier to keep Torah and to keep mitzvahs and to learn Torah and be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could really do with that. The darga we want to reach is to have a me'en of a mashal that the Shekhinah sent us into Golos, not because the Shekhinah wanted to do that. The Rosh Baruch never wanted to be away from us. The Rosh Baruch wanted us to have a Beis HaMikdash. Just to explain what he wanted us to have a Beis HaMikdash, what type of a Beis HaMikdash. Famously, and we've said this before, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the story goes that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, after, at the time of the Churban, as the Beis HaMikdash was burning, was sat on a hilltop overlooking Yerushalayim, crying his eyes out. And a Greek philosopher, I think they say it was Plato, or Socrates, came over to him and said to him, yo, you're a philosopher, you're an intelligent man, and this is what you're crying about? About the bricks, about the wood? Come on, that's not what you... So the building's gone, it's an edifice, what are you crying about? Yirmiyahu he turned to him and said, you're a philosopher, you're an intelligent man, you must have questions that still perplex you. With all your intellect, and with all your genius, there must still be something that bothers you, and that you haven't found an answer for. He said, yeah, you're right, actually. So Yirmiyahu said, ask me a question. So he leads into a lengthy discourse of chakira and depth until he comes to the end with this tremendous question that he has. Yirmiyahu HaNavi listens and with seeming simplicity answers that question. Just he can't, you must have another one. And he does, he asks him again. The same thing repeats itself again. Turn to Yirmiyahu HaNavi to him and said, I wanted to explain to you something. We're intelligent people. We're questioning people. We sometimes have questions and we're perplexed by certain things. When we had that Beis HaMikdash, forget the edifice of the building. When we entered into that Beis HaMikdash, we prepared ourselves to enter Bikdush HaTahara and we entered in there. You entered in there and you had no questions. Everything was answered. It's like the Ramban had a Talmud, who before that Talmud was Nifter, Ramban knew that Talmud was going to be Nifter, and he handed over to him Shemus HaKadoshim and other secrets that he would be able to go Meheichal al-Heichal in order to get to his place in Masifta Derakia. But the Ramban made a deal with him and said to him, make a promise to me that after you are Nifta, these are two questions that I want you, or two or three questions I want you to ask in Masifta Derakia, and you're going to come back and tell me the answers. And the Ramban waited after he was Nifta. He waited through the Shiva, and I think it was at the time of the Shlosh, or either the end of the Shiva or the end of the Shlosh, and the Talmud comes back in the dream. And he thanks his Rebbe for giving him the skula and giving him the shamus and giving him direction where to, how to navigate through the Olamos HaElyonim and to get him to where he got to. So the Ramban to him, no, and what's in my kasha, did you ask them? He said, Rebbe, up here there are no questions. I didn't ask. Because there are no questions, everything's clear. And the Ramban understood that that's then. When you get there, you understand that everything's clear. We had a Beis HaMikdash where we had that. We had a Beis HaMikdash where we walked in and we understood everything. Today more than ever, as the Golos gets longer and we're in it longer, we have more questions. The questions haven't got less. They've become more, they become more profound and more complicated, and we don't understand things. If we would have a Beis HaMikdash, we would be able to enter into there and we'd have clarity. Not only we would have clarity, we would appreciate why. We would feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We would feel a kirva. Ah, that's why that's happened. Of course that has to happen. I understand. And we became Karev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, now you understand why I'm crying? It's got nothing to do with the building. It's got to do with what the building contained within it. The Shekhinah that's now left, that's gone into Golos. And that's, the Shekhinah doesn't want to go into Golos. The Father doesn't want to be in Golos. The Rebbe Nishim doesn't want to be in Golos. He had to send us into Golos because we needed to be put into Golos. He doesn't want to be there. So during this time, we want to try and reach a dargah, and even if it's for a few moments during this time, of thinking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be here. His love for Klal Yisrael is so great that there is an opportunity for even us as human beings living in this Olam Hazeh, there's an opportunity that we can have a Beis HaMikdash bank where we can have ultimate clarity in everything. That's a tremendous avah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By doing his mitzvahs.
And they also raise the question, if they had that clarity, then why couldn't they hold on the right path?
Because Zelo Mazeh Osarekim and the Yitzhahara was as strong. And it had to be. And that's why
that's never win anything.
Sorry?
And you can never win anything.
Some did, some didn't. And that was the challenge. And so by Yomahu, we're waiting for it, that's the challenge will be significantly reduced. We want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But every little bit of closeness that we can make during this time during these 9 days, where we experience again that yearly experience of Hester upon him. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I have to hide myself from you, but I don't want to hide myself from you. I don't want to be in hiding. I wish you were looking for me. Every little bit of kirva, every little bit of looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can do gets us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that. He's waiting for us to be able to do that, to be able to get close to us. So the Navi tells us, have you ever heard of a nation that swaps its god for another god? You never hear that. And they're not even gods. And Klal Yisrael gave up HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, HaKadosh, you've given me up for something that's worthless, doesn't even work, for an Avodah Zarah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hishayim Rois Asa Ami, there were two bad things that my nation did. Oisiyaz were Makor Mayim Chaim, they left me, the source of all life, Makor Mayim Chaim. Lachtiv Lem Boris, Boris Nishvarim, they went to dig for themselves pits that were broken, that were in receptacles, they wouldn't be able to contain anything. They couldn't, Loyochlu Amayim, they wouldn't hold on to the water. That perhaps is hinting to what we've said many times, Lo Motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Brocha Ela HaShalim. To build a receptacle, we have to have Shalim. If we're going and looking, we forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achdus means believing that Hashem is Echad, and our meaning in Hashem Echad, and that every single one of us is here for a unique purpose, and we need each other. That's the Achdus of the world. We left that, and we went to look for something which would contain in it Bracha, but if there's no Achdus, it ain't going to contain Bracha. Because it can't, it needs to be Lo Motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha Ela HaShalim. The Shabbosis in these next two Shabbosis are times where on Shabbos we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is miyachad with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Klal Yisrael. We sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. There's no other. It's Shabbos and Klal Yisrael. Shabbos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a closeness on Shabbos, and we're not knowing minyan avedus on Shabbos. Because even within this time of there's a tremendous ahava for us. Because the question is asked, when the Umas Olam came into the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, and they saw those two Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech, which were normally signified to us exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt we were. If he felt that we were doing the right thing, they were facing each other. If we were, they were facing away. And when the Umas Olam came in, when they came into the Beis HaMikdash, they were Morim, Zebazer, they were hugging one another. And obviously they couldn't understand that. What was going on? I always like to say over my Rebbe Chaim Kaufman Zeich Tzali Bracha. I remember when I once told him, there's a new book that came out about the closing of the Rebbe, when the book came out in English. So I said, yeah, I'm not sure if it's a translation or a new. He said, I'll tell you a story that's not. I'll tell you something that's not. He said, at the end of the Second World War, the end of the Allies' effort to conquer the Nazis, Yimach Shemal Mezichrom, in one particular TP camp where the closing of the Rebbe happened to be, the Allied forces made a Thanksgiving ceremony. Obviously General Eisenhower was there and other major generals, and they were all sat on the dais, and they asked for different people to come up and give Thanksgiving to the Allied forces for what they had done. Who was going to represent the Jews? So the Klosenberger Rebbe was the most prominent of all Jews in that DV camp, didn't speak English. So they gave him a transliterated piece of paper on which he would... But you can imagine this ceremony was in the sun, in the heat. And it needed to run according to time. So everything was worked out, timed, and every person was given an exact amount of time to speak. And the transliterated speech for the closing of the Rebbe was calculated into that time, that it would be that amount of time. Closing of the Rebbe gets up, says whatever he needs to say, and then proceeds to talk in Yiddish to the thousands of Yidden that were standing there. They speak. One of the generals comes over to General Eisenhower and says, stop it, he's spoken too long. He said, no, you can carry on. He comes over again shortly after. He's got to stop. We're going to, it's the whole schedule. General Eisenhower says to him, just look out across, look at all those eyes. Look at all those eyes. He says, I have no idea what he's saying, but they obviously need to hear it. I'm not stopping him. He said, Reb Chaim, you want to hear one of the things he told him? You want to hear a what that he told him? I'll tell you a what. He asked them, what's pshat that the Kruvim were Mu'urim Zebazer? At the time of the Churban. He said, Yidin, I want you to know something. The biggest expression of Ahava is always expressed at the moment of departure. Everyone's been to an airport, everyone's been to a port, where the biggest expressions of Ahava are expressed. Why? The overflow of emotion, because I'm saying goodbye. Rachmana Litzlan at a Levaya, where we say goodbye until Tchias Hamisim. The overflow of the expression of Ava is there in a very emotional way. Why? Because I have to say goodbye. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Kalisol, I've got to say goodbye. I've got to say, I didn't want to have to do this, but I have to do this. At this moment, my Ava for you is at an immense, immense amount of Ava. And he said, Gideon, I want you to know, we've been through what we've been through over these last 6-7 years, and there's a tremendous amount of Ava that I could have. How is that expressed? That's expressed in the fact that there's going to be a huge amount of Shefa Bracha to Klal Yisrael. And we're all going to experience it, and we're going to use it to build Klal Yisrael again. That was one of his messages. In these days, where we go through again, that through the circular rail track of the year, and we visit that station of the 9 days, of the Hester upon him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, puts himself into Hester, but there's a tremendous expression of Ava to Klal Yisrael. More so on a Shabbos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu always expresses his Ava to Klal Yisrael. But Yisrael Hashem, we've got to utilize that. We've got to appreciate it and utilize it. Have machshavos of kirvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have machshavos of trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How we can better ourselves. How we can understand ourselves vis-a-vis our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. Mesiyata Dishmaya, that kirvat should be increased and increased. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should taka be megale himself to us. That we should be zorcha that this year Tisha B'Av should be a moed of simcha. And we should be able to be mesameach together with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Shemir of Yomino Amin.